live from New York City on the Stars Align for the Dallas Cowboys versus the New York Giants, the first primetime football game of the new 2015 season. Of course, your boy, Chris McTwiggin, is here, along with Dustin Bork running the board, holding down the studio while I'm on the road. Big time game today. We got a new segment. We're going to debut that for all of you. We've got a lot of hard-hitting topics to go through today. We're going to, if anybody there hears any noise in the background, again, we are here down in New York City. I do have other fans here around me, Cowboys fans, Giants fans, different things like that. So I told them if they yell anything, they can't curse, just because I don't need a bunch of F-bombs going on behind me. Dustin, real quick, though, funny thing before we get going here. Wearing my Cowboys jersey around New York City today, I happen to be right now, I'm in Long Island City, Queens. I was in Manhattan last night, went to MetLife Stadium just to look at it, but right now in Long Island City, Queens, I walked down to get a bagel this morning, and I had like four or five, "You suck, go back to Texas," and, you know, and "Cowboys suck," and "go back to Texas, you know, three-letter F word," and I'm like, first of all, I'm not from Texas. It's nice of you to just assume. It's like, second of all, y'all got some hatred down here, man. Texas people wouldn't do that. Dustin, do you get that in Florida? Do you get that in Florida at all with, like, Bucks fans?
Not at all. And first of all, think about it as, like, an area thing, right? New York, New England, Philadelphia, you would think probably passion, right? Probably the most passionate fans out there, and I just don't think Florida has that for two reasons. I think most people migrate here, so they bring their ties with them. So, like me, for example, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. I live in Florida. I'm not going to move to Florida and start rooting for the random Dallas team. I mean, the Florida team.
True.
So it's just one of those things, you know, and I think New York is a tough spot, and they're going through a tough time. They're Jets fans, but I think they're more Giants than Jets for obvious reasons. But
in this area, it is,
yeah. And so, I mean, if you're obviously in a Giants territory and you're wearing a Cowboys jersey, you're asking to get your head ripped off. But yeah, whatever. I don't really care about New Yorkers right now because they got nothing to cheer for.
No, and they're going to have a lot to drink for tonight after the Dallas Cowboys win this football game. So,
how about back
on,
from football, baby? How about football's back?
I know football. In fact,
one
I got
o'clock,
right behind
get the 1 o'clock
right behind me
game
here.
Going.
Well, exactly.
Like,
I got the NFL
go.
Red Zone kicked up here, so I'm sort of looking at the NFL Red Zone while we're doing this. It is football season. It is festive in the air. It just feels like fall. It's amazing. And, you know, we are going to be, for those of you who are not familiar with the new format, we are going to be on every Sunday, 1 to 2:30, Cowboy 90-minute Sunday. And what we are doing is, you know, I have several people asking me, well, what if the Cowboys play at 1? You're going to be on during the game? Well, yeah. Hell yeah, we're going to be on during the game because Dustin and I thought that maybe giving live reactions as they happen to the Cowboys games would be good radio. It would sound pretty good. So we are definitely going to do that. We don't have to worry about it till week three when they play Atlanta, but that's, I think, will sound good. So today, though, however, looking at the slate, what we've got laid out today, we decided that we wanted to talk a little bit about some smack talk that's been going on. That's right, some smack talk. And, you know, the Giants are notorious for talking. They're notorious for running their mouth. They're notorious for getting that billboard, poster board information. However, very rarely is it a rookie, okay? And in this time, Giants rookie Landon Collins the other day dares Tony Romo to test him. In fact, he said the other day that I dare Tony to throw the ball in my direction, he will be sorry. He says, we played in big bowl games. We played in games where it cost us the most, Collins said about his time at Alabama. We played in games that can make or break a season. Same thing. It's only the beginning of the season now. Not really nervous about it at all. So here's the thing. I don't know, Dustin. I know you don't really like college football. I do follow college football. Landon Collins was supposed to be a first-round pick, ended up being a second-round pick, the first pick of the second round. And the reason for that, dude can't cover his own pillow. Okay, he's a hard-hitting safety, sure, But when he was asked to drop back in coverage, he couldn't do it.
Yeah, all right. So my whole take on this thing is it's just kind of a, you know, it's a tribute to where the Giants are. So realistically, you got a rookie calling out a top five quarterback in the league. He's legitimately been called that. He's been called a top five quarterback in the league. He's been voted on by a lot of ESPN panelists. He's been voted on by owners, by his peers. A Romo has arrived, okay? If people don't want to admit this, then I'm sorry that you're in denial, but Tony Romo is here. He is rated the third best quarterback behind, I believe, oh God, someone just tagged me in it on Facebook today. I'm going to actually pull it up right now. They did they had a voting that took place, and I believe it was NFL Network, and the best quarterback in the NFL, 45% Tom Brady, 31% Aaron Rodgers, 10% Tony Romo. So he's a top three quarterback, okay, as voted on by NFL Network and their study that they did. And then you want to hear the other awesome poll they did. Results. Who will be the AFC champ? Who will be the AFC champ? Who will be the NFC champ? AFC, 33%, okay. The defending champion, New England Patriots. So 33% think the Pats are going back to the Super Bowl. 35%. The leader, NFC, Dallas Cowboys. So 35%, the
Beautiful.
Leading vote-getter, Dallas Cowboys going to the Super Bowl. So
for those
do the Cowboys
who didn't
come
hear
up
that.
Short. But listen, do the Cowboys come up in short when they're in those positions? Whenever it seems like the Cowboys are picked as a favorite or as, you know, you got to live up to the hype, they crash and they burn. And we know this about them. We know the history. It's painful.
Yeah, unfortunately we do.
Right. So that worries me because I've yet to see this Dallas Cowboys team with this Dallas Cowboys quarterback march into a season when they are projected to go 12-4 and live up to that record or do better than it and then make a deep playoff run. So that's all business as usual for Tom Brady and the Patriots, right? They expect to go 13-3 every year. Hell, they expect to go 16-0. So when they lose that first game, they can't sleep at night. So that's just a tribute to their greatness over there in New England. But as far as the Dallas Cowboys go, everybody's picking them to do great things this year. So we got to live up to it. Yeah, we got to live up to it.
You know, for anybody out there who may have did a double take when Dustin said it, yes, Dallas Cowboys, 33% of the voting favored to go to the
35.
Super Bowl this season.
35.
Okay, well,
Patriots were 33.
I was given the benefit of the doubt, 35% to go to the Super Bowl. The problem is with this, the season hasn't started yet. Well, obviously it started about 15 minutes ago, but the thing is the Cowboys all off season long were not the NFC team. It was that people were saying Green Bay, people were saying that, you know, we might have a sleeper NFC team this year. The Cowboys were not getting any love all off season. And now that the season is upon us, and we've seen that the Giants have had injury issues, and we've seen that the Giants, you know, aren't necessarily the team that they thought that they would be. You know, now everyone's like, oh, well, Cowboys are good, Dez is good, and McFadden and Randall, blah, blah, blah. But getting off topic here a little bit, because we do have to move on a little bit. I mean, we can come back to this, but the Dallas Cowboys are going to – they're going to have – their work cut out for them, but they're also probably going to have a field day. Again, Landon Collins, a kid who couldn't cover college kids very well. Okay, at Alabama, a program that is as professional and as pro-ready as you get, okay, from Alabama, couldn't cover his own pillow in Alabama. But yet he calls out Tony Romo saying, I dare him to test me. I dare him to throw the football in my direction. I have a feeling he's going to have to come up and help in Dez Bryant coverage situations, maybe even T. Will kicked over. So who really knows?
I'm going to be honest with you. Tony Romo can decide what to do with this guy. Tony Romo's going to be looking for – I think so, but I think you don't want to throw literally at him because I'm sure the guy's athletic enough to make a catch in the deep game. So it comes down to when I say Tony Romo is going to decide, meaning if he overthrows Dez, he could turn this guy into a Hall of Famer because this guy's going to have easy pickings. You get what I'm saying? So he needs to make sure he's on his A game. You know, I'm certainly not saying Tony Romo needs to dial it back and not sling it, because I really want to see an offensive explosion. I want to see what our offense is capable of over these first 4 weeks while we don't have our, you know, Greg Hardy. I want to see Tony Romo say, you know what, last year I got screwed out of MVP. I'm coming out for it this year. Yeah, we want bigger, better things. We want to be in the Super Bowl. But I should have had an MVP consideration. I should have been seriously talked about much more than J.J. Watt. I guarantee you that, because even though Watt did great things on defense and caught maybe 4 touchdowns on offense, Tony Romo has not gotten any credit. All he's gotten is dogged on for bobbling a snap back in freaking 06 and then everything else. So Tony Romo needs to finally be recognized as one of the great quarterbacks in the game, and everybody needs to realize that all those years that we were 8-8, it's because of Tony Romo, not in spite of Tony Romo. Tony Romo carried this team 8 games. That's, you can't say that about a lot of quarterbacks, okay? You cannot say that about, you know, necessarily maybe a Drew Brees. Like, how do we look at, well, you can say that Drew Brees didn't do that. Look at the Saints. Saints finished 6-10 last year, right? So that tells me right there that Drew Brees couldn't carry the Saints with Jimmy Graham at the time, the second best tight end in the league. So
at least you have Romo, because your quarterbacks have not had a very good beginning of their season. Tim Tebow cut by the Eagles, and now I'm sitting here as we're doing the Cowboy broadcast. I'm watching the Browns Jets game. I don't know why, but I'm watching the Browns Jets game, and your buddy Johnny Manziel's not starting. It's Jake McCown or Luke McCown. He's not relevant enough to me to even say his name, but to even know his first name. But to me, and we are going to move on here real quick, but again, at least you got Romo, because your buddy Johnny Manziel, the clipboard holder for the time being. Is it me, but do the Browns' new uniforms look like college uniforms? Like, they look like a college team. They got the writing coming up the side with the little stripe, and then they've got the whole thing. I haven't seen Oregon started that whole thing with the writing up the side and the whole thing, and I think it might catch on, some NFL teams. But, you know, I like our classic unis. I don't think we should change at all. But yeah, I'm kind of liking them, actually, the color scheme and everything, and not too bad.
But think about it like this, Chris. You can't possibly be too flashy, I don't think, in today's age. So Cleveland Browns team, aren't they one of the originals?
They are one of the originals, and they had one of the most boring uniforms as they were voted anyway.
Exactly, and nobody can explain to me why they're called the Cleveland Browns and they have an orange helmet either. So, I mean, to be honest with you, that whole color scheme and that whole logo in general needed an overhaul. I mean, I just think that when you're called the Cleveland Browns and your helmet is orange, something has either lost a bet or I don't know what happened. But about it like this, though. An original team that's willing to get flashy, that's huge.
Browns fan guy sitting over here with a beer. Hey, guy. Jesus, I'm sounding like you now with this whole guy nonsense. So I know we got to move on. It's the Dallas Cowboys show, you know, America's team, a real team. But the question is here, the Browns were voted a couple years ago as having one of the most boring uniform combinations in the NFL. We just commented that now they kind of look like a college team with the writing coming up the whole side and everything. Why did they change? Two questions, and then we'll move on. Why did they change to something so flashy? Do you think flashy was needed? And secondly, why are they called the Browns, but orange is their primary color, and they have an orange helmet? They should have a brown helmet, don't you think? No, come here. Come up here. I'm not going to be able to hear you. Dude, we're in a freaking apartment. I got a microphone. We're all noise-cancellated. So tell them right here. Tell us about the Browns for about a minute and a half, and then we got to move on to a real team.
I mean, hey, love the Browns from Cleveland, born and bred.
Beautiful.
But, you know, I mean, I think we needed a little some kind of flash to us, you know.
Don't you think that's why they went after Johnny Manziel?
He says, don't you think that's why they went after Johnny Manziel, to get a little bit of flashback in the program?
I mean, hey, you know, he's a good pickup, and we'll see. You know, he's got some learning to do, but he's gonna come through for us in the next couple of years, and you know, hopefully these jerseys help us out. You know, it's always a struggle being a Browns fan, but never will be.
It hasn't been an easy decade as a Cowboys fan either, man. Trust me.
Hey, so. I love the Cowboys too.
There we go.
All right, orange helmet. Why?
Yeah, orange helmet. Why?
I mean, nah, I don't know. I mean,
they've had it since you've been a little kid, right? It's been always been an orange helmet.
Yeah, I mean, it's brown and orange, you know.
Okay.
Brown and orange.
Let me do this. I am gonna crack a beer after the show. Thank you for that. But let me just say this though. This Browns fan right here. When the Browns didn't have a team, you know, they packed up in the middle of the night, went to Baltimore, won a Super Bowl. We won't talk about that. He was a Cowboy fan during that intermission while they didn't have a team in Cleveland. So that's the beautiful, beautiful part about it. And
they beat the Steelers in 96. Love that.
Right? Beautiful. He hates the Steelers as much as we do. So
good.
We'll finish the game. Thank you. But so that's beautiful. We're sitting here on a Dallas Cowboy football Sunday. And right now, real quick, before we move on, zeros across the board until a few seconds ago. Once I refresh my page here, because I got everything up in front of me, all the fancy stats and everything, Kansas City leads Houston 7-0, and your Washington Redskins lead the Miami Dolphins 3-0. Miami is driving, however, in the first quarter of that ball game. Yeah, well, it's you know, it's NFC East team. I want to be the only 1-0 NFC East team at the end of this. Speaking of defense and Dallas Cowboys, Tyrone Crawford was just locked up. Not literally locked up, but locked up. 5 years. Well, you never know in the NFL. 5-year deal, I believe it is here. Let me pull it up here. The 25-year-old, birthed out in 2014. Blah 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 blah. Sure, here it is. He is going to receive an extension with $45 million with $25.7 million guaranteed and $17.4 million fully guaranteed. And I believe it's a 5-year deal. I got to look at it again, but I believe it's a 5-year deal. Yes, it is, 5 years. So Tyrone Crawford doesn't get a lot of love unless you're a Cowboys fan. I mean, I guarantee you if you went around the league and you asked a random run-of-the-mill fan who Tyrone Crawford is, probably couldn't tell you. But I'll tell you right now, Tyrone Crawford makes waves on this defensive line. And without him, we'd have a big hole up front.
I agree. I think he's young. He's athletic. He takes up a lot of space. He is an intense, nasty guy. It's the problem is, like I said, I wanted a nasty dude like a Greg Hardy, but at the same time, this dude's nasty. But we need multiple of them. We can't just have a one man show down there because, you know, the O lines of a professional football offensive line is difficult to get around no matter what. So I'm pumped about it. I don't know his stats. Do you have any idea what he's putting up for stats, what he averages, anything like that?
Well, I can tell you right now. But what I can also tell you is that he was one of the top sack men on this team, if not the sack man. And you can hear behind me them cheering for the Browns in the backfield or in the background of here. So, again, live from New York City. Cowboy 90 Minutes Sunday, 713-955-0359. Call us up. Hit us up on the Facebook, email, Twitter feed, whatever it may be. Just pulling up the Tyrone Crawford stats here. Last season, okay, he had 2014 season. He had 3 sacks, 8 assists on the tackle, and he had right around 26 tackles. So, I mean, he didn't have a huge, huge year from a productive standpoint, but
So let me ask you this: Does he live up to that contract? Because that ain't cheap.
No, it's not cheap. But I think that the Cowboys have enough faith in him, where they know, they see what he does in practice. They know what he's capable of doing. I definitely think that he may be worth it, because I've seen him stuff up the middle. I've seen him, even if he doesn't get the tackle, doesn't get the sack, I've seen him collapse the pocket. I've seen him, you know, really make headaches for quarterbacks and for running backs, even though he's not going to go in the stat book as getting the tackles. He definitely does make a difference on that D-line, and without him on that D-line, we'd just have a bunch of D-ends. We wouldn't have a big D-tackle. So, James, buddy, come here. But we were talking a little bit about this last night. Cowboy fan, resident Cowboy fan, lives up near me, Glens Falls, New York. James, we're talking right now, Tyrone Crawford just locked him up 5 years, and Dustin, my co-host, was wondering, maybe you can, this is the aficionado I was talking about, ladies and gentlemen. He was wondering if maybe you could clear up a little bit easier. Was the Tyrone Crawford deal worth it for the money that we gave him?
Well, I definitely think that the deal was worth it, only because the strength of our defense right now is the defensive line. If you see our draft picks, if you see DeMarcus Lawrence is going to come out and break out this season, I believe. If you see Gregory, who's had an awesome preseason. I believe that it was smart to lock him up because of the we're going to maintain our strength. Just like we drafted consecutive offensive linemen in the first round, we strengthened the offensive line. I believe that defensive line was important to lock up this season, because it's going to be our future. Now, as far it makes our outside a little bit better too when you put that pass rush on the quarterbacks every single down. So I believe it was smart. It was a lot of money, but I think it was smart to lock him up.
So maybe he lives up to the contract.
I believe so. I definitely believe that he will live up to the contract. I mean, he had a good last season. He had a good half a season the year before. I believe that they see a lot for him in the future, definitely.
I have no problem with paying youth and potentially having these guys kind of live up to the contract down the line. What I'm kind of sick of is paying for what you did for me last year. Kind of, I guess that's probably why they didn't pay DeMarco. So I don't have a problem with paying a young guy like this. I just don't want a 33-year-old veteran to show up and then have us just empty our checkbooks for him. So I'm not as... Yeah, so as long as it's youth, I'm good with it.
100% agree.
Lunch, wide open.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for that, James. And again, Cowboy fan from up near me gets a lot of the same crap that I have to deal with and all the time, constantly. So, but I also know he's a very passionate fan, loves sports in general, and I figured he's sitting here, you know. The funny thing is, we've got 4 Cowboys jerseys in the apartment right now. 1 Browns jersey, but that doesn't matter. And it's beautiful because we're in New York City and we got these Cowboys fans. But I just hope that the show gets over with today before the Giants fans who are coming get back here, because you know that they'd probably, being typical Giants fans, be obnoxious, try to yell stuff, you know, whatever, and ruin the show. Typical Giants fan. But thank you, James, for that and the comments on Tyrone Crawford. Me, I think, yes, it's worth it. It's a lot of money, don't get me wrong, and this could be a make-or-break kind of a thing for Jerry Jones and this administration, because if you give him this money and he completely falls off the face of the earth, well, obviously we look stupid. But if he does a J.J. Watt and he says, okay, you're going to give me this money, I'm going to work harder than anybody else, be the first one there, last one to leave. He's going to be a sack machine this season. He's going to collapse the pocket this season. He's going to make nightmares for Eli, RG3, and Sam Bradford. Then, you know what? I'm all for it. And, you know, more power to him. I mean, you know, dude did what he needed to do, got paid, made his money. And sorry for the inflection on my voice there. McCown just diving through the air and got hit, helicoptered, fumbled the football in the end zone. That's what the whoa was for, so I apologize for that. Keep you posted on what that call is. So I didn't quite hear what you were saying to James. Dustin, do you feel, and I know if this is a repeat, then I'm sorry for the fans, but do you feel Tyrone Crawford's worth the money?
I mean, like I said, I have no problem with paying youth and them potentially having to live up to the contract. The last thing I want to do is repeat paying veterans for what they've done in the past and just emptying everything we got for a 33-year-old. So I'm okay with paying Crawford. You know what I'm even more okay with?
What's that?
One of our newest segments. Forget about me. I want two players that were influential on you, whether it's childhood, whether it was high school. Give me two players that aren't on the team currently that we'll never forget. Cowboys for life. Shoot.
Oh, geez. From a personal standpoint or just guys that you know of?
No,
for me,
somebody that you're not going to forget that was a Cowboy because they had, like, a crazy moment or they lived up to the hype, whatever.
You know what? To play devil's advocate, I'll do one positive, one negative. To me, obviously, Troy Aikman is cliche. He's going to be the one that I don't forget.
He's got a great commercial out right now. I think it's Miller.
He does.
He's at the gas station, and everybody's talking about him in the past. He's like, God, don't live in the past, man. And then his cell phone rings, and it's like, Aikman for the touchdown! Aikman for the touchdown! And then he's like, I live in the past. So that was pretty
funny. I've seen that. That was pretty funny. I've seen that commercial. Aikman, you see, to go from a positive memory, it could be Aikman, it could be Emmitt Smith, it could be Deion Sanders, Michael Irvin.
Don't do 20 of them. You got to save. This is
I'm just saying. So what I'm saying is I'm going to go with, from a positive standpoint, the first player that comes to my head is Troy Aikman. From a negative point of view, the player that comes to my head, and you probably agree with me on this, but Patrick Creighton. And the reason why I'm going to say Patrick Creighton is because I was sitting in Ireland. I kid you not. I was sitting in Glencombe, Ireland, okay, on a school trip. The bartender was from Boston, loved football. I bribed him into putting on the NFC playoff game. I gave him a little extra euro, said, listen, man, can you put on the game? I'm a long way from home against the Giants, 13-3. And I just remember him being wide open. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, nobody within 20 yards of the dude, okay, and just looked at the football, turned his head, and just dropped it like it was on fire. And that, I feel, cost us the game. It wasn't the run pick. It wasn't this and that. It was he run that in for that 40-plus yard, 50-plus yard touchdown. That's game over. We're going on to play the Packers, and who knows what would happen from there. So Troy Aikman, from a positive standpoint for personal reasons, and Patrick Creighton is my negative player that I'll never, ever forget.
I mean, if we're going to do a positive negative,
I put my own spin on it. You don't have to. But
Well, I mean, it's a good point. If you're going to name two players, you might as well do two from the opposite end of the spectrum. I'm going to do one player who was both positive and negative, and that's the one and only, I love me some me, Terrell Owens. So I think we've had this debate over and over and over again. Who relies more on who? Does the receiver make the quarterback, or does the quarterback make the receiver? I think Terrell Owens is responsible for a lot of Tony Romo, you know, touchdowns and yards in his beginning career. So,
okay.
I just think T.O. was good for, he put butts in seats, he was entertaining, he was a touchdown end zone guy. I just wish we could have had him retire a Cowboy. I wish the divorce never happened where we got rid of him and then he just went down the gutter.
How many
men
you think said that? I wish the divorce
didn't
happen.
And then honestly, the most negative besides Patrick Creighton is Martin Gramatica, because he was the guy He was the kicker who, when Romo bobbled the snap, all he had to do was lay a block on the guy who tripped Romo up, and Romo probably made it into the end zone. And to watch that dipweed miss the kick and then just be like, and then freeze in the moment and then just watch this other dude push him out of the way while he goes and tracks down Romo, that one
broke
my heart. When
are
you
ever going to see a kicker make a block, though?
But realistically, how often do you see...
I mean, you got George Babin running at you, and you're a kicker. You're not making a block. I wouldn't be.
Yeah, but dude, that's like saying, when would a quarterback set a block? I've seen Peyton dive in front of people. I've seen Romo dive in front of people. I mean, it's whatever. You go above and beyond. You're a real football player. You do real football plays. And in that moment, you should have just tried to get in the way, help this dude pick up the ball and
maybe,
get the end zone.
Sure.
I mean, it's kind of an instinctual thing, but... I mean, whatever.
They don't look like a playoff team to me.
Tony Romo is expected to carry this team.
I think that if you look at it on paper, and you know what the record is, they're not very good.
This could very well be a bad season.
I think the older you get, the more you understand you're having to battle. When you have the opportunity to be in a position we're at, I think you want to, you know, really cash in. If you continually look at it from the big picture perspective, take something from everything, you know, a loss, a win, whatever it is, and improve. If you do that, you're eventually going to be the best version of yourself. I think that's the culmination of what takes place in your career as a football player.
So that is beautiful, beautiful stuff right there. Tony Romo. You know, our vaunted quarterback with the audio clips, with the bigger picture. Real quick, though, by the way, I just did talk to James, talked to him a little bit last night. He is going to be calling in for that segment, Favorite Cowboy Memory, because he does have quite a few of them. So we will be giving him that number for later on in the future shows. So, but for this, I think, Dustin, by playing these beautiful audio clips of Tony Romo, what you are implying is that perhaps – the media and the fan base are saying it's Super Bowl or bust for the Dallas Cowboys and for Tony Romo. But Tony Romo isn't necessarily saying that himself. Tony Romo is saying, you know, it's all about the bigger picture. It's you live and you learn. It's getting better every day and going out there and doing the best you can and winning. But, you know, I didn't hear anything there that says that he feels it's Super Bowl or bust for him this season.
I mean, he's done interview after interview after interview where he basically, he just says, we got to win. And we got to hit mute, buddy. The amount of background noise coming out of Chris McGuigan right now.
We are here. NFL Red Zone is on and all that. So I'll let you talk. I'll hit mute. And then if I have a point, I'll kick back in.
So what I was saying was, realistically, Tony Romo, every year, he says, we got to get better, we got to improve, we have to get better as a football team, make progress, and see ourselves getting to that ultimate goal, which is the Super Bowl. Now, realistically, yeah, this is a generic response by every textbook quarterback out there. It's kind of a Tom Brady response, you know, we're on to next week, we're on to Pittsburgh, we're on to this, we're on to that. And all we're thinking about is that football game, what just happened, and then the next one. Not down the line, not a Super Bowl. So I think Tony Romo is at a Super Bowl or bust point in his career. Realistically, the guy he's done pretty much everything that he's had to do other than win it. I mean, yeah, you could say he needs to, you know, whatever, you want an MVP award or whatever. But realistically, Tony Romo, I'm looking up. I want to see how old he is. What is he here? I think he's 35, 36. So, you're coming into the twilight of your career, man. You know, yeah, you're 35 years old. You've had two back surgeries. Not one. You've had two back surgeries, people. Okay, the stuff that he had and had to have fixed in his back is not something to be taken lightly. Okay,
well, he's had two back surgeries in 2 years. I mean, he's had... I think he had two in 1 year, and then he had something that happened the year before that. So his back is a mess.
His back is a mess, and not only is his back a mess, but you're 35. You know, what injuries used to, when you're in your 20s, take, you know, from Sunday to Tuesday to heal, and then when you're in your late 20s, Sunday to Monday, or Sunday to Tuesday, Sunday to Wednesday, then you get into your 30s, and all of a sudden it takes until Friday. When you get up to be 35 and to 40, you get hurt, and your body does not heal like you, and you're going to need weeks. And when it's a serious surgery like it was, you're going to need months, and you're going to have to heal and work out and rehab. And Romo had an interview where he was talking about his back surgery, his most recent one, and then that San Fran game where he came out and he just stunk up the joint. You know, he was letting way too much float under all the balls, and they were getting picked off left and right, and he looked like he would never be the same. And then finally, something clicked, and I don't know if his muscle memory just finally got back to where it needed to be, but he came out and he slung it the next week, and he looked way better. But now, okay, 35, you're going to be 36, okay? You look at the great Peyton Manning. I don't care what Tom Brady says. Tom Brady's not playing until he's 45. I'll tell you that right now. But Peyton Manning is 40 years old. If people aren't saying that this is the last hurrah for Peyton Manning, they're in denial. This is it. Okay, Peyton,
There's no question this is Peyton's last hurrah.
Right, so realistically, Peyton just had reports in the offseason that he couldn't feel his fingertips in his throwing hand. So if that's what's going on with you, we all know Peyton Manning's neck history. We all know Peyton Manning, his surgeries, and that was spinal related. That's scary stuff, dude. Okay, so when you can't feel your fingertips, there's a problem. It's not like a circulation problem. I'm not saying the guy was sitting on his hands and then all of a sudden he didn't know what was happening.
If I couldn't feel my fingertips, I would be like freaking out. I wouldn't be like, oh, you know, I think I'll just play this season and 16 games of, you know, getting beat on every day and having to use my hand for my entire, you know, like the reason I have so much money and a nice house and all the cars because of what my hand can do. If I couldn't feel my fingertips, I'd be like, you know what, done, that's it, hang it up, you know, get me
scary
a beer, I'll watch it on TV.
Yeah, it's scary stuff, but not only that, if you can't feel your finger, your fingertips, your all the fingers in your hand, how the hell are you gripping a football? Like, that's an instinctual thing, but more than anything, you need a feel for it. So I think Peyton is done after this year. I think Denver did an abysmal job. And realistically, they didn't put enough weapons around him for him to make one last, you know, charge at a Super Bowl.
Well, they took his main weapon away. He has Demaryius Thomas, but Julius Thomas.
Still
got
Thomas,
to
but Julius Thomas left. Yeah, Julius Thomas left.
Julius.
Luckily, you know, he got injured with Jacksonville, so he's going to be sitting out for a little while until that gets fixed. But still, you know, they could have added pieces for him. They were in no hurry to bring Wes Welker back. Wes Welker's still out there on the waiver wire. We all know he's like one hit away from a vegetable, unfortunately, and that's why he'll never see it up again. But, you know, it's just it's Super Bowl or bust for Tony. More than anything, it's Super Bowl appearance or bust for Tony Romo. Because he could make it to the Super Bowl, and if he doesn't win it, we're still satisfied with the appearance, and then the following year, he'll have to get there and win it. Folks, if you can't hear me, it's because Chris is surrounding himself with a bunch of people watching, the Seahawks game right now? And all we
can
hear is
background noise. We have NFL Red Zone on, so we're doing all of them. But, yes. Oh, and the Resident Giants fans just walked in. Hello. Okay, I'm getting crap now because we got a Giants fan here. No, Justin, completely understand what you're saying. Completely hear you there. You know, the way I look at it, okay, yes, I would be satisfied with an appearance. But, boy, if we go, I'm going to want to win. I mean, I know how upset it is, you know, upsetting it is for me to have the Dallas Cowboys lose a regular season game. Okay, my week is ruined when they lose a regular season game. If they go to the Super Bowl and lose, I might have to go on Prozac for a couple weeks. So, I mean, that. So I don't necessarily know if I'd be satisfied simply with an appearance. But from a Tony Romo legacy standpoint, yes, I would, because Romo needs that. He needs to at least make a Super Bowl, because if everyone's giving him, oh, well, how many rings does Eli have? That's the big thing. When you get Giants fans that are like, oh, well, Eli, Tony, how many rings does Eli have? Well, okay, but if Tony at least makes a Super Bowl, just makes one, leads his team there, you look at him statistically on paper, and Dustin, I know you're a numbers guy, look at him statistically on paper, he's the best quarterback in Cowboy history. If you line up the three resumes, Aikman, Starbuck, and Romo, he's got the best stats of any quarterback who's ever played for that team.
And by the time he's done, assuming his back doesn't just break in half on him, and I would never wish that on him. He's one of the greatest guys I've ever seen.
He's a warrior.
He'll have such a lead over the second. I don't think anybody's going to be breaking Tony Romo's record for the Cowboys long after he's gone. So,
it'll take a while to do.
Yeah. No, well, not only is it going to take a while to do, but it'll take like an Andrew Luck drafted rookie of the year in order to do it, to have that kind of career that would need to pass. Because people don't remember that Romo sat for a while. He didn't just get drafted and then, he didn't just get drafted and then start. You know, he kind of like a Rodgers situation where, you know, if they had started right out of the gate, they'd have a lot more statistically and have potential of breaking records, career records and stuff. But realistically, anything more than a Dallas Cowboy record, I don't think Tony Romo is going to come close to as far as breaking records. But, dude, you can't tell me it's not Super Bowl or bust for him, you know, this year. It's just in the eyes of the fans it is, and then in the eyes of Tony Romo himself, I think it is. I think it's been Super Bowl or bust for the last 3 years.
Oh, definitely. There's no question. In terms of the eyes of the fans and the media, I don't think he's felt that way. But you know, I think for Cowboys fans, I know a lot of Cowboys fans personally who are not sold on Romo. Like I'll talk to Cowboys fans, and some people love him. Some people are like, oh, yeah, man, he's going to lead us to the promised land. I love Romo. I'll ride for him because of what he's done for us, staying in games during injuries, you know, bringing us as close as we've been in a long time to the promised land, and being that consistent guy who's good on the mic, good with the media, good on the field, and owns up to his mistakes. But then I get guys who are like, you know, hey, you're a Cowboy fan? Oh, yeah, man, love the Cowboys. Oh, hey, man, how do you think we're going to do this season? You know, I think we'll be all right if we get rid of Romo. And you know, I've been getting that about 50-50. I've been getting Cowboys fans loving Romo, and a lot of people saying that for us to be successful, he needs to be gone.
I told you that weeks ago, and you like laughed at me, or you were shocked. You didn't know that was the overall vibe out there.
But I've gotten it recently. I hadn't had it up until recently. And now, recently, for whatever reason, I've been hearing it more and more.
I've gotten it always, and to be honest with you, I think it's the casual NFL fan that doesn't like him because all they do is tune in for the highlights, and when you get the highlights, you don't get the whole story, and it'll always end up in, oh, Romo got sacked, Romo threw the pick that iced the game or whatever, but realistically, nobody watched the entire game and watched him keep everybody in it, watched him battle, bring us back from a double-digit deficit. And then, he ends up making that final mistake at the end. And it's like, well, dude, yeah, because he was too busy fixing every other mistake that our entire team made the entire game. So it's
speaking
the casual fan, not the true fan.
Stop it. Yeah, okay, I hear you. The casual fan of the Cowboys or the casual fan of just of the league in general?
All. The casual fan that doesn't watch the whole game, whether you're a Cowboy fan, whether you're a Giants fan, it does not matter. The casual fan is a moron. Buys the jersey just to wear it. Can't name more than 5 players on the team. I hate casual fans. They're bandwagon fans. The casual fans are the ones that dislike Romo. The true fans, the real fans, the fans that live and die, bleed that royal, that, you know, that navy blue, that cowboy
blue
and silver. You realize the greatness of Tony Romo, and you realize the growth, and you're like, you know what? This is our guy. Dude, I have told hundreds and hundreds of people, you fantasy football me. You pool all of the quarterbacks. You put them all in one pool. Give me the number one. It's the only guy I'm taking over Tony Romo is Andrew Luck.
You know, I hear you there. And speaking of quarterbacks, though, real quick, your boy there, Johnny Football just threw a touchdown for the Cleveland Browns because McCown went out of the game with an injury. And Johnny Football, so, hey, maybe Dustin, if this, you know, on the side career besides radio, maybe you could be a talent scout for the NFL. Who knows? Because he's been calling Manziel's number for a long time.
What I tell you?
He threw a beautiful – I mean, a 50-yard strike, hit him in stride. Beautiful. I didn't think – excuse me. I didn't think we'd ever see that out of Manziel. So,
Johnny Football,
I mean,
baby.
There. Johnny Football, 7-0 Browns over the Jets. Real quick score update here. We got about 45 minutes or so to go here. And you know, we went through three topics already, man. It feels to me like this show is we're moving along at lightning speed, usually a lot quicker than we normally do. But to give you guys a little update here, it is currently, when it comes to scores, 14-6 Kansas City, 7-3 Green Bay over Chicago, 0-0 Indian Buffalo in the first, Cleveland 7-0 Seattle, and St. Louis are tied at 7, and Washington is still up 3-0 over Miami. That's the early slate of games. Speaking of games, we've got a game tonight at 8:30 p.m. Sunday Night Football, the first prime time football game of the 2015 season. Beautiful music. I've been waiting 8 long months to hear that sound.
I've been waiting what, like 20 years to hear that?
You did one hell of a job, and the only thing else I got to say is, how about this Cowboys?
Jimmy Johnson. Now, here's what baffles me about Jimmy Johnson, all right? You win 2 consecutive Super Bowls and you get fired? But anyway, that's for a different show at a different time. What we're gonna do
doesn't
right
that,
now?
Hey, doesn't that just scream Jerry Jones?
Yeah, in a way, it does.
Hey, for all you fantasy fans, hey, listen to this. For all you fantasy fans out there, if you picked up anybody on the Indianapolis Colts, I assure you, you did not make a mistake. T.Y. Hilton, quarter one, just about to end. He's already got 70 receiving yards. I mean, give me a break. Come on.
Yes, but here's the thing, though. 70 receiving yards, great, okay. But the Buffalo defense already has 12 points.
Yeah, well, who cares? That doesn't mean anything. You start the game with 10 points, Chris. You going to tell me at the end of the fourth quarter they're going to have 12 points? They're going to have a shutout?
Oh, you started the game with 10? I thought you started this league with 0 to start the game.
Better in every fantasy football league, when you start the game with 10 points as defense, and then you lose points.
Oh, God darn it. Okay, well then never mind. Here I am.
Hey, guess what? Guess what, Chris? Guess what just came across the wire?
What just came across the wire?
The Cowboy Killer, DeSean Jackson, ruled out after suffering hamstring injury versus the Dolphins. That's too bad. Too bad
for
DeSean.
He pulled his hammy. Hey, you want to get together and I'll send you the postcard, and we can sort of write him out a postcard, send him some flowers or something?
We will. We will write him a postcard about how sorry we are for him that he is unable to continue to be the Cowboy Killer. Man, am I scared to play DeSean Jackson when we get there?
Am I scared to play the Redskins, period? I mean, yes.
Funny thing that was on Facebook that I saw, they uploaded it on Bleacher Report. There's a fan that made an interchangeable Redskins jersey. They put a three-hole sleeve, you know those sleeves from college that you used to put your papers into to keep them protected? He attached one of those sleeves over the number, and then he put a mini one over the name so you can interchange the name and the number over the RG3 jersey and put it into whoever was starting that week.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because they go through a starting quarterback that fast.
That is awesome. Oh, wait a minute. The St. Louis Rams are poised to take the lead here. We are live. We got through all of our topics pretty quickly. And we are live here on NFL Football Sunday. I know this is a Cowboy show, but it is the first show of the regular season for the Dallas Cowboys and the Stars Align. So I'm going to keep you posted with some score updates. The St. Louis Rams now lead 10-7 off of a field goal over over Seattle, rather, and a almost touchdown for Kansas City there. So it looks like Kansas City is going to add to their lead. It's going to be 17-6 here in a minute over Houston. And real quick, looking at the NFL red zone, and boy, usually, Dustin, I'm just waiting for this play to happen, and then I'll tell you what happens. But I'm all in on football, all in on it. And right now, I don't care about any of these games until tonight, man. I mean, normally, I'm like so invested in it. I'm so like, yeah, this is awesome. I want to see who hits what and what the scores are and this and that and that. I don't care, man. I'm just ready for tonight.
The only thing I care about, like care in like air quotes, is that anybody in our division loses. So if Washington's playing, I just care about seeing them lose. So I want to make sure Miami wins that game.
They're leading Miami right now, but yeah.
Yeah, well, 3-0 means garbage. But
yeah,
I mean, realistically, I'm looking at the slate. Seattle, St. Louis.
That walk-in?
Seattle.
No, it's not. Oh, I'm sorry. I have walk-ins on my fantasy team in Buffalo to do a touchdown. So anyway, continue.
So, realistically, you look at the slates right now. The only game that appeals to me when it jumps off the screen is that Seattle-St. Louis game, because I think that's one that we talked about, I believe, earlier in the week, where
yep.
St. Louis always seems to play Seattle tough. What was your prediction in the article you published on OTSNN for Seattle-St. Louis again? Didn't you pick a shootout?
Let me
jumped all over you?
To it. Well, you jump all over me anyway, but
well, don't say it like that. That sounds weird.
Yeah, Justin jumps my bones. Now this is my first chance to see the new update. For anybody who's used to seeing the website and has not seen the new format of the website, I would go on to www.theotsnn.com and check out the new site. It is it's beautiful. I'm looking at it now, and it's pretty BA, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Glad it's updated, and it looks more aesthetically pleasing.
He's like, yep, that was me. It's all me. I did that. So let me pull this up here. I believe I picked a shootout. I picked... If Lynch and Chancellor, I believe, don't play, then the Rams can pull one off. But I think I did pick Seattle to come in and win that game.
Right. There was one game that you picked that was a shootout, and I was, like, blown away. What was it? We had a huge talk on our other show, Mediation Mondays. We have another show, Mediation Mondays, where we cover all sports all year. Doesn't matter. And we did kind of some picks. And there was a pick that Chris made that it jumped out at me that this kid was losing his mind. And I forget which one it was going to be. I think it was Carolina-Jacksonville. And you picked Jacksonville, I think, to blow him out, right? Like 40-20?
No. That wasn't a shootout. I'm looking at right now Jaguars 17, Panthers 9 for the score. So, no, that wasn't.
Tennessee-Tampa Bay?
No, here's the one. No. Okay. Was it a shootout that ended close or a shootout that ended up being a blowout at the end?
I think it ended up being a blowout at the end, but I still couldn't believe that
Cardinals,
you picked the teams
Saints,
to score that much.
Cardinals
what?
Cardinals 41, Saints 28.
Oh, no. That was the one that I'm like, you're going to tell me that the Cardinals are going to hang 40 on the Saints and the Saints are only going to score 3 touchdowns? That one to me was a joke because there's no planet where the Arizona Cardinals are going to outscore the Saints that much. Not a chance. When Drew Brees is still on the Saints and Carson Palmer's quarterbacking, no way. What was the other What was the other big scoring game?
Well, let's see. I got 35-31 Broncos over Ravens. Now the scores don't matter to me. The scores I'm adding for extra bonus. I'm just looking at. Did I pick the right winner?
I would have picked.
So far, I'm 1-0.
I would have picked that one reverse. I'm saying Baltimore gets revenge against Denver for that embarrassment year that Peyton put up 55 touchdowns and he came out and threw 7 on them in that first game of the season.
True.
I'm thinking Baltimore.
Lions, Chargers. Was it Lions?
No.
Chargers, 34,
tell me. No. Tell me your Carolina Jacksonville pick.
17-9 Carolina. 17-9 Jacksonville.
17-9. So the Carolina Panthers, according to Chris, are only scoring 9 points today.
Yes. They don't have anybody. Lost their main receiver.
Hey, 13 minutes left of quarter two, and they already got three. So they're already ahead. They're already ahead of their average, according to Chris McSwiggin.
Touchdown Jets, but there's a flag on the field.
Well, Percy Harvin just caught one from Tyrod Taylor. That I saw.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, no, those are the only real shootouts besides the Cowboy game. But the thing is with me is I'm not necessarily concerned with the score. I'm just really kind of concerned with picking the winner. I just kind of came up with a score based on, you know, players that they have and abilities that they have and weapons and things like that. But, again, to me, it's not necessarily about the score. I'm not going to be upset if I don't get the score right. I'm just trying to pick the winners. And so far, like I said, I'm 1-0. And I believe you're 0-1, if you want to put it on the record. I know you never put it in writing, and if it's not in writing, it's not real.
No, my Steelers page thing was way off. I got the score, but I just picked the wrong side of it. They couldn't stop the Pats.
But you know that the league is not going to allow the Patriots to lose. Come on. The Patriots are not going to lose football games at home because there's always something that happens with that team. And, you know, right now, and there it is, touchdown Jets. Jay, I wish we had an audio clip for the JETS chant, but anyway. We are here live in New York City today. The stars align. Cowboys 90-minute Sunday. Different time. Different day, same time. 32 minutes left to go. And, again, we are here at the Cowboy Party in Long Island City, Queens, New York City today. I shouldn't say Cowboy Party. I mean, it is a Cowboy Party because the guy whose house I'm at is a Cowboy fan. But there are some Giants fans sprinkled in and out of here. There is one random Cleveland Browns fan for whatever reason. I believe there's some other teams who live in this building who are coming in. But mostly it's going to be Cowboys tonight, and it's going to be like two Giants fans, maybe three. So we're going to kind of sit them in the corner and not let them, you know, not let them join in the festivities. But one thing I wanted to ask you as well, okay, and this is what we wanted to get into with the end of this show. Again, about 30 minutes left. Hopefully this will take up a good chunk of that. If not, I can ask some of the guys here what they feel. Predictions for tonight's game. Now, I know that tonight's game is going to be a shootout. I obviously think the Cowboys are going to win. So, I think we both think the Cowboys are going to win. So I don't think we need to go back and forth with the winner on this. But who's the X factor? Not literally, but who's
Terrence Williams?
Okay. So Terrence Williams is the X factor. So let's put it this way: what's the score of the Cowboys Giants game tonight? And who gets, if you had to give out a metaphorical game ball here at Stars Align, who would get it?
So after you hit mute. There it is. So realistically, there's two ways I can see this thing going. The shootout way and the, this is not what we expected way. Shootout way, somewhere in the 40s, you know, a 42-35 game. I'm obviously still picking the Cowboys. Now, that's what everybody's expecting because everybody knows these are revamping defenses. You know, JPP is not playing for the for the Giants. And JPP is not playing for the Giants. Victor Cruz has been ruled out. So realistically, I'm thinking it would be a shootout. I hope it's not for the sake of the Cowboys. I hope the Cowboys find a way to shut down Eli and the throw and, you know, Jennings on the running the ball side for the Giants. I just think realistically that the Giants, they can put up numbers in bunches, but I'm hoping they can't tonight against us. I'm hoping that the Cowboys put the league on blast and say, hey, you guys think we're going to have a crappy defense last year? Look, we were middle of the pack, and you think we're going to be middle of the pack to crappy again this year? We're going to be like a top 10 defense. especially when that bad man Greg Hardy gets back. So I think that it's going to be a shootout, honestly, and I think it's like what I said. It'll be like, you know, early 40s to the high 30s. I'm hoping the Cowboys are on the winning side of it. Other scenario I have is it could be like an ugly game, you know? Maybe everybody's expecting Romo to carry the team and maybe somebody takes over. Maybe McFadden shows, hey, I'm still McFadden. Nobody gave me a shot. I'm healthy. Check it out. Here's a 60-yard bomb run touchdown. Maybe Run DMC shows up. So, I mean, realistically, I just don't know. You know, I don't
know. You
know,
they said that Randall's supposed to get the start tonight. That's what was just reported.
So maybe the wire on my
Cowboys app.
Right. So maybe, I don't know if you heard what I just said. I said that, you know, the sexy pick, the offensive shootout is what everybody's expecting, and I'm saying, you know, low 40s to high 30s in favor of the Cowboys. So, like, maybe a 42 to, you know, 37, 36 game where the Cowboys win. But I think it will be better if it's the other way, if we win, like, 28 to, you know, to 14 or to 17, and we show that we can stop the, you know, the Giants and their air attack. The Giants don't have Victor Cruz. He's been ruled out. They don't have JPP. He's been ruled out. JPP might be out for the season, they're saying.
Yeah,
so,
his finger's worse than people thought.
So, realistically, but, I mean, you can credit that to Bill from Long Island because he brought up, you know, that skin graft stuff isn't a easy thing to get over, and sometimes stuff, you know, involving anything amputated like that, it is a real miserable, long, drawn-out healing process. It's not like you can just tape it up and go. So, Bill, credit you to that. You know, it looks like JPP might be out for the year. Bill actually called that before all this other crap that happened where, you know, JPP shows up, he might sign his franchise tender, he's ready to go for week one. Bill said, I don't think he plays at all this year. And we were both stunned by that because we were like, all right, this guy's just going to wrap it up with a plastic bag like a club and then just go out there and still do what he does. But, credit to Bill, he might be out for the season. So I think realistically, man, it's so tough because there's so many ways this thing can go. It can go ugly. It can go Randall. Randall shows up, and maybe the running doesn't look any different than when we had Murray. Maybe we're able to just milk the hell out of the clock, control the possessions of the ball. You know, maybe it's business as usual, and we repeat what we did last year, and it's a 27-17 game. You know, so many ways.
Think about this scenario when it comes to a reversal of the sexy shootout pick. Well, I still think it's going to be a shootout either way. It's going to be high scoring, well, relatively high scoring either way. But let's say this. Let's say the Dallas Cowboy defense does step up. They decide to do something. Cam Newton just picked off, by the way. Let's say that they decide to do something and they shut down Odell Beckham. If that's possible on this planet to do, let's say that we do it. And one of the Giants fans that is here, Alan, was talking about he feels – Odell Beckham Jr. may not have the biggest game. He feels the sleeper pick for today is going to be Reuben Randle, right? No, he's nodding his head. Reuben Randle. So our Randle may have a big game, but also the Giants' Randle may end up having a big game, despite the Giants losing tonight. Yeah, I said it. But he's giving me the eye over there. So you think that could possibly be the case tonight? I mean, something unseen or unpredicted from the Giants?
I mean, I'm not picking Reuben Randle, though. I mean, if I'm going to pick a Giant sleeper, I would say Jennings. I'd say their running back, like, gashes us up, you know? I mean, what if Randy Gregory doesn't live up to the hype? What if our D-line, what if Crawford doesn't have a good game?
Randy Gregory is nasty, though.
Yeah, I know, but that's the thing. So he looked nasty, so now everybody's expecting him to have 3 sacks tonight. So if he doesn't have that, it's a huge disappointment. So what if we can't stop the run? You know, what if we can't stop a nosebleed? Maybe Jennings just gashes us for 150. You know, I think that's more likely than Reuben Randle having like a 150-yard game and Beckham being shut down. I mean, our number one guy, hey, Chris's favorite guy, Brandon Carr, is going to be defending the guy who put him on a poster multiple times last year, Beckham again. So, Brandon Carr, you want to build on last year's performance? You scrub, shut down Beckham this year. Shut him down this year, today. That's how you get that.
So, let me ask you, if Brandon Carr down Odell Beckham Jr. tonight, which, like I'm not saying it's going to happen, if it happens, does he redeem himself in your eyes? If he has a good game against Beckham, does he redeem himself? Because we know you went out on a limb and went out of your way to trash Brandon Carr at every opportunity you've gotten since we started the show. Does he redeem himself if he has a above average to good game against Odell Beckham Jr. tonight?
For all of the blown coverages he's provided to this team over the last 3 or 4 years since we got him, no. But it's a gigantic step in the right direction because this is the first time for him to get redemption. And it's immediate.
True.
He was literally posterized in every shape or form. He was made to look like a child that couldn't keep up with dad. Like, he looked like an absolute loser out there against Odell Beckham, who, by the way, made the catch more difficult than it needed to be. So I just think if Carr comes out, keeps Beckham to 40 yards, no touchdowns, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about Brandon Carr, and I'm certainly forgiving him. Because if I could forgive Tony Romo for all the late-game interceptions or late-game blah-blah-blahs, if you shut down a guy who torched us last year and you have stated, I'm going to build on the progress I made last year and come out and be the number one corner, and you do it and you back it up, all right, I can easily start to forgive you for that. But you've got to do it tonight. You can't just let this kid jump all over you again.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, he's gotta do something. I mean, in my eyes, I'm not quite as against him as you are, but in my eyes,
how do you
he
feel,
needs to
Chris, put
perform.
It this way. Chris, put it this way. How do you feel if Beckham scores 2 touchdowns and 110 yards against us tonight, and Brandon Carr was the primary defender against him? How are you feeling about Brandon Carr?
Well, part of me will be happy because I have Odell Beckham on my fantasy team, but when it comes to Carr, I will feel like one of two things. I will feel, depending on how much beer I have at that moment in my system, I will feel that either Beckham is unstoppable and it doesn't matter who's covering him, or I will feel, get Brandon Carr the hell off my team right now or it's going to be a long season. I feel one of those two things.
Exactly.
Probably the latter. Probably the latter, to be honest with you. But I'm hoping it's the former.
At this point in his career, he needs to be looking to find a team that needs his veteran leadership and not necessarily his athletic ability, right? Because I just feel like he doesn't have the athletic ability anymore. He's already proven he's lost a step. He's letting this little kid – Odell Beckham is not this physical presence that can't be handled, people, okay? He's what? He's barely that tall. He weighs maybe 150. He's a little scrawny, you know what? So, and Brandon Carr is a bigger corner. Brandon Carr should be able
much
to put
more,
this kid on his behind right off the line. He should Brandon Browner him. He should just check freaking Odell on his behind right off the line.
Well,
don't even let him get to the route.
Brandon Carr's never been good at press coverage. He's never been a press coverage corner, even in Kansas City.
I know, but
he was sort of a top back zone corner.
Yeah, but Chris, that's like saying I've never been good at dunking, and then if I have an opportunity to jump off a trampoline, I'm not going to do it. I'll absolutely be the best dunker in the game. This is the game right now. You're playing a scrawny wide receiver who's flail. He is a very thin, weak wide receiver. I know you've never been a press coverage corner, but start to be when you play this guy. You got to learn situational football.
True. I mean, I understand that you need to make adjustments. Good teams and good players make adjustments in the biggest moments and situations, but you know, Odell is, I mean, I know he had a small sample size last year. I mean, I know he blew up that, you know, bad throw that he turned into a great catch and that, you know, he was on the Madden thing and whatever. Dude played in like 8 games. So, I mean, we had a small sample size of Odell Beckham Jr. last year.
Did Cam Newton just get picked off a second time or was that notification late?
Let me check. That game is not on my screen at the moment.
I'm going to lose
see.
My mind if Cam got picked off a second time.
Why, are you starting him today?
Yeah.
Huh. Let's see here. Cam Newton.
No, he's only got one. All right.
One, yeah, okay. I was going to say, I think your notification is late because that we have the NFL Red Zone on here through Verizon Files, and that would have showed up on the screen. We would have seen
I'm counting on Cam Newton to do big things for me this year.
Okay. Well, I think Cam Newton should have a big game against a team like Jacksonville, but the reason I picked Jacksonville was just because Cam Newton has nobody, literally nobody around him except for a rookie, Devin Funchess, and from Michigan, who's unproven, and he has a great defense, sure, but that's why I picked it to be a low-scoring game. So, you know, who knows? Who really knows? I know Jacksonville's young, upcoming. They're poised. They got good receivers. I'm a big Blake Bortles fan. I definitely think that.
How about Chris's pick? How about Chris's pick out west? Kansas City making Houston look like a minor league team right now.
Didn't I tell you? I told you Kansas City is contending for that division this season. And I also
said
I'm not sold on Houston. I also said I'm not sold on Houston.
I don't think
they have a
quarterback. Worry about Oakland. They got to worry about the black hole.
They do. I think a lot of people are, you know, jock riding the Broncos this year for the West.
Alden Smith,
I don't think the Broncos
baby.
Make noise.
Alden Smith.
I don't think the Broncos win.
They got Alden,
yeah,
Alden Smith off the discount shelf. Off the discount rack. He was on clearance. And that dude is one of the best pass rushers in the game when he's not getting in trouble or getting arrested in DUI.
So Khalil Mack and Alden Smith now in Oakland. Woo! Ooh.
You want to talk about bringing the bad guys back. Isn't football better when the Cowboys and the Raiders are good?
When all the classic teams are good. Cowboys, Raiders, Bears, Packers, Chiefs. Like, all the old teams. You know, all these new age, you know, Houston Texans and Tennessee Titans and Jacksonville Jaguars. It feels to me like, I mean, you got to have the core, man. Cowboys, unfortunately, Redskins, Bears, Packers, all the old teams, Chiefs, Jets, you know, all the teams from way back when they still had grainy televisions, you know. And, yeah, I love that. I love that stuff. And football is better when the classics are good, just like a lot of people will say that baseball is better when both the Yankees and Red Sox are having a good year. It's the same thing, man. People might like trends. They might like, social media and all these new apps and these new things. I'm old school, man. I like tradition. I like teams that win. I watch up for Syracuse, but hey, they're 2-0 in football. But I like tradition. I like powerhouse teams. I like, you know, dynasties when it comes to certain things, and except for the Patriots because, you know, it's a tainted dynasty in my opinion. But I like tradition. And when the traditionally good teams are good, oh, yeah, hell yeah, football's better.
Hey, you want to know what Carolina's especially pissed off about? Thursday, watching one of their former running backs tear it up for the Pittsburgh Steelers. D'Angelo Williams. Looked like a different player. I didn't even know who the hell it was, first of all, because I didn't know he was growing his hair out like Marion Barber and throwing, like, the little pink highlights on the end of him. But secondly,
that's kind of goofy. I'll give you that.
But, man, dude, he looked good. He's 32, pretty much done in the career of a running back, and he had probably one of the best games of his career. Because I'm looking at Carolina, and they got 48 yards right now out of Jonathan Stewart and 12 yards out of Cam Newton. But holy crap, if D'Angelo Williams was putting those numbers up for the Carolina Panthers right now, they would be guaranteed to win that division.
Oh, yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, I don't think there's any real debate when it comes to that.
But, wow, Carolina's got to be pissed. You let go of D'Angelo Williams because you think he's washed up, he's too heavy, he loses 15 pounds, comes back, and all of a sudden he's an outside speed back, not power back anymore, not shifty one-cut back anymore. No, he was beating the Patriots around the edge like they were the little kids that couldn't keep up with Dad, just like Brandon Carr and Beckham.
Speaking of getting beaten like they stole something, the Jets' defense right now against Johnny Football. I mean, I gave up on this guy. You didn't. And he is Jets have a – let's face it, folks. Love him or hate him, the Jets have a good defense. Johnny Manziel
elite.
Is tearing
Someone
them
say
up
they
right
have
now.
An elite
He's
defense.
Tearing them up. He's tearing up the Jets defense right now. It's shocking to me. And because he's so versatile. He runs, he throws, you know, he can
and
make throws on the run
like
across
all
the body.
Of a sudden, it just sounds like all of a sudden everybody's on Johnny Football's you-know-what. And I've always been on.
I didn't really get a chance to see much of him.
I've been saying that this kid just needs a freaking shot, and people got to let him just go, and then look what happens. He gets in and he shines.
He came from last in his first start and lost 30-0 to the Browns and looked like he didn't even know what football was. So I didn't think he was much of anything except for an alcoholic. And
maybe
look
he just
at this.
Needed he all the booze out of his system.
He throws a screen pass over to Robinson right now, and he is poised to get another touchdown here. But, boy, anybody that has Johnny Manziel and took a gamble on him in fantasy, they are loving themselves right now.
Well, nobody
cause
did
he's got
because
them.
He wasn't listed as a starter, so there's not a single person who had him off the waiver wire, but I guarantee right now.
People are going to pick him up. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got him down to the 10-yard line of the Jets. And, you know, we got the one resident Browns fan here who might have to change diapers if they score here because he's getting kind of excited. But 13 minutes to go here, well, just under 13 minutes to go on the Stars Align Dallas Cowboy Radio Football Sunday. And we are going to wait until 8:30 tonight for the Dallas Cowboys to take on the New York Giants live here from New York City. I'm going to be watching the Cowboys hopefully pick up a victory versus those New York Giants. I can't say that they will. I can't read minds. I'm not Miss Cleo. I don't have a magic eight ball. But hopefully pick up the win. Manziel, touchdown. No, he's out of bounds. Ah, Johnny Football, you suck. So, anyway. I gotta get back to watching football here. We got pizza, we got beer, we got hopefully some females coming over. We don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens with it. I got my blue Witten jersey on. Let me ask you, what jersey you're gonna wear tonight?
Probably the same as usual. I'll either go Navy Romo or Thanksgiving Romo. I got a white, but I hate wearing it.
Yeah, okay. Wow, especially football's a day of pizza and wings and sauce and beer and white jerseys, man. They just get dirty real quick.
Well, you were the one that told me during the week that the Cowboys have announced that they're rocking the Navy jerseys 4 or 5 times this year.
They're going to rock
which
them
is very which is very unusual.
Five well it's not their choice. They're going to rock them 5 times. Obviously on Thanksgiving, I think as of right now, they're going to be wearing the blue, but again, nothing was confirmed for Thanksgiving. The 4 that were confirmed were week 2 at Philly, week 4 at New Orleans. The game we're going to against Tampa Bay, they're going to wear white, and the game against Miami, they're going to wear white.
Why did you say they're forced to wear it? Who's forced?
Because the home team gets to choose which color they want to wear.
Gotcha. So I think your favorite jersey you said was the Royal, right? You said the Navy blue?
They don't wear it very often, but yes, the normal Navy blue that has the silver with white outline stripe on the side with the star in the middle. Yeah, that's
right.
My favorite one.
Yeah, see, I feel like my number one by far has to be the 90s, the 94 Aikman jersey, the one with the huge stars on the shoulders.
Yes, I like
just,
that one too.
I've always liked retro. I like retro
sexy,
everything.
Man.
The throwback. Yeah, the throwback. It's oftentimes just giant logos, and that's cool stuff to me, so I love that. And then number
technically
two.
Technically, all white jerseys
are
retro.
Yeah, I know, technically. Well, you know what's funny is I don't know a lot of people who listen if anybody plays Madden. When you use the Cowboys, you go to select their home jersey, white. You go to select their away jersey, white. They're the only team that literally has defaulted, and they prefer to use the white jersey for every mother effing game. It's literally programmed into Madden that way. The only way you get to the blue jersey is if you go to alternate.
Hey, Radio 104.5, the team presents the Stars Align. We are back. Yes and no, Dustin. Dustin is here talking about the Dallas Cowboy uniforms. Again, four or five times this season they are going to wear the blue jerseys that we all love. Now, do you believe in the Navy curse? Because for a long time, fans, I don't know if it's a superstition that's justified or not, but fans would say that Dallas has the blue jersey curse, and that's why they didn't wear it very often. Last season,
I mean, that's
they,
like, yeah, but that's
other
like
than the
Denver.
Philly game, they were perfect in that jersey.
You remember the Denver thing, right? They said that whenever they wear their orange jerseys, they lose, and then they go and play against Seattle in the Super Bowl, and they got their asses kicked.
Oh, yeah. But wasn't the orange jersey their default home jersey now, though?
I don't know if it's their default home now. Maybe they're just trying to do away with that curse, but it was the white, you know?
It's possible. It's possible. Now, hey, Dustin, real quick, question about fantasy football. If the opposing team misses a field goal, does your defense get points? If it's not blocked, they just miss it.
I don't think so. I think that's a reflection of the kicker's stats.
Okay.
I'm not sure. You have to literally look up the scoring. It's all published on the league, so you can literally see what you get points for and everything. But I'm pretty sure that the only person who's affected by something like that is the kicker. I think they lose points when they miss a kick.
Okay, because the Colts just missed a kick, and I was wondering if my Bills defense was going to pick up the points for it.
How about Indy? Andrew Luck being crowned the early MVP, early Hall of Famer, and
Andrew
they're about
Luck
to go into,
is looking like
they're about to go
a
into
top
halftime.
Warner player right now.
Yeah, they're about to go into halftime as shutout.
That would be – hey, I picked it, though. I picked the Bills to win this game, I believe. I'm not sure. No, maybe I picked the – I don't remember. My picks were so long ago, beginning of the week, that I had forgotten. But, boy, I feel good for the Bills. I know a lot of really passionate Bills fans, just like we're passionate Cowboys fans. And touchdown Dolphins. And it was 10-0 Washington. Touchdown Dolphins, and it's now 10-7. Ryan Tannehill throws the touchdown. Was that Cameron? No. I couldn't see. It was at the corner of my eye. I'm like – no, we want Cameron. Well – okay, anyways, so arguing about fantasy here. We got 5 minutes left to go here at the Stars Align, and tonight's game, I think it's going to be interesting. It's definitely going to be a game that we are going to remember for a long time because, to me, it's a reflection of this season. It's a make-or-break game for us. We're completely healthy. We really don't have any significant injuries other than Orlando Scandrick. And we are right now on paper. I personally, and this is not just me being biased, being a Cowboy fan, being a super fan. This is me being, you know, a media person looking at it too. On paper, we have a top three football team on paper right now when it comes to just raw talent, flat out. And I look at the Giants.
That's how it is every year, though. That's how
well,
it is every
always.
Year.
Not always. Usually it's top 10 in talent. I very rarely have I said it's top three. But
dude, back when we were 07, we were the paper champions. Everybody used to say that. Dallas Cowboys, yeah, they're always the champions on paper, but they can never make it work on the field.
By the way, touchdown Cam Newton. There you go.
10-3
Carolina. 10-3 Carolina wearing the ridiculous blue teal jerseys. I like the San Diego Chargers blue jerseys. Not wild about the Carolina Panthers blue jerseys, but anyway.
No, that's the one reason why I hate the Chargers. It reminds me of all the tools that wear the North Carolina colors. I hate that baby blue crap. I hate it.
Well, that's right. You're not a
you're
North
one
Carolina
of the,
fan, are you?
You're one of those tools. No, I'm Duke.
Yeah, I knew that. The Blue Devils. So, my question then for you to sort of end off this show a little bit. With the way that Houston looks right now, do they even make the playoffs? I mean, is Houston this bad or the Chiefs that good?
I mean, you don't want to totally overreact to just a bad half. You know, everybody has bad halves. Hell, the Cowboys
they got
have
no
bad
one.
Halves. So I just think I mean. The only cause for concern is Arian Foster because you don't even have anybody to run the ball.
True. Yeah. I hear you there. Well, right now it's 27-6 Kansas City with 47 seconds left to go in the second. Again, man, normally I'm so invested in these games, but I'm just so amped up for tonight. I think the reason for it is because it's a division game tonight. If it were just some random game where we were playing like the Titans or whatever the hell, then I probably wouldn't be quite
as
amped.
No matter what, you got to be amped. No matter what,
I would be amped. I'm a lot more amped because I'm playing the Giants.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. We could be playing the Rams. It wouldn't matter. Cowboys are back. Week one, America's team. I mean, come on,
America, dude.
It's America. It's just, it's good stuff. Come on. Every time you hear that, it gets you amped.
Music is amazing. Music is absolutely amazing. Looking forward to hearing that tonight. It's been too long since I've heard that. Also, call me a typical guy, but looking forward to seeing the Carrie Underwood opener for Sunday Night Football tonight. That's always a fun time as well. Right? Isn't that always fun?
No. I could give two shits about who's singing that song or if it's even on there. Cowboys
are back. I
don't care
what the song sounds like.
We're almost back.
I don't care what the song sounds like. I care what she looks like.
I'm sticking with Team Romo on that breakup.
Come on, you're a Hank Williams Jr. fan. I know it. So, anyway, 2 minutes left to go. Guys, could we get one thing for you here before we sign off here? 2 minutes left to go. Jimmy Johnson quote. Could I get a how about them Cowboys on three from the Cowboys fans in the room? On three, here live from New York City. One, two, three. Let me hear it.
How about them Cowboys?
We'll see y'all tonight.
Thank you very much for listening to Stars Align.
What's going to happen next? You're going to see NFL players doing the running with the bulls over in Spain or something? Just to be new and trendy?
Yeah, that just helps with conditioning in the off season. Don't be ridiculous.